Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And watch for the changes that will be coming in the next couple of months. We're going to be redoing the entire site, so it'll be even more friendly for you to use and provide you with even more advice and services and information about everything real estate. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Greater Albany, Utica, Watertown, Phoenix, Arizona, and even now Boston, Massachusetts. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed, particularly in today's rising interest rate market, and it's really not rising as much as people think or want to talk about. They're still under 5% for a 30-year mortgage, so please call them today, 633-3700, and ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash because you have a mortgage commitment, not just a pre-approval that every other lender wants to offer. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, for personalized, customized, we like to call it knock your socks off service. And it's very important today because it is a much more of a consultative process than what you might see on television where you just dial up and all of a sudden you've got a mortgage commitment in your phone someplace. I don't think that takes into consideration your individual needs and wants, and that's what our mortgage consultants are there for. That's 633-3700. And check out that low rate and closing cost guarantee. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in any of the markets we serve. Just simply dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about. No matter whose listing it is, if there's a sign in front of the property, still dial 631-4800. And the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. All you have to do is enter the street number. Then you'll be prompted with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. And what a week it's been for our teams. And I was going to ask our guest about that. I know it's a source of pride for him. And in the studio with me today is the mayor of the city of Buffalo, Byron Brown. Good morning, Byron.
Good morning, Peter. Good to be with you. I want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving coming up and all of your listeners and viewers a happy Thanksgiving.
And thank you. And the same to you and your family, Byron. This has been a kind of an historic time for the mayor's seat in our city. You are, I think, are the first person ever elected to four terms. Is that correct?
I am the second person ever elected to four terms. Mayor James D. Griffin was also to four terms as mayor. So I am tied with Mayor Griffin in history for being elected four times.
And if you think about that, and the last three mayors will have a total then of 11 terms.
That's right.
That's pretty amazing.
And actually, there are no term limits in the city of Buffalo.
That's pretty cool. Well, then good luck on the fifth term, should you so desire. Byron, a lot of people know you only as the mayor. I've had the good fortune of knowing you for longer than that. Tell us a little bit about your personal history. How did you get to be mayor of the city of Buffalo?
Well, I grew up in New York City in Hollis, Queens. Double house where my grandparents on my mom's side lived upstairs, had two loving parents that were incredibly supportive of my sister and I, encouraged both of us to get a good education, to go to college. I came to Buffalo to attend college, did degrees in political science and journalism at Buffalo State College, was interested in public communication, did a number of internships in college with public relations firms and efforts and with elected officials. And my first job was not in government. It was in the private sector as a marketing and sales representative in the pharmaceutical industry. And shortly after that, I saw a position that opened up with one of the elected officials I had interned with. I applied for that position, was selected for it, and the rest is history. So I went on to work not only in city government, but county government and state government, reached senior capacities in those governments, and then decided that I wasn't happy with conditions in the neighborhood that I decided to move into in Buffalo on the east side of our city. I thought I could make a contribution to that neighborhood. I thought about the best ways to make a contribution, decided that it would be running for office, lost that first time I ran by 164 votes.
Wow.
Which really reinforced for me how every single vote counts, mm-hmm. every single vote matters. After that, I then came back 2 years later, ran for the city council, won, and I've served three terms on the city council, three terms in the New York State Senate, and now four terms as mayor of the city of Buffalo.
That's quite a career, and I would bet that probably 2% of our listeners might know all that, but I'm glad that we have now provided them with a very important history of a very important person for our city. Let's bring it up to your term as mayor. This has been, for most of us who've been around the city for a long time, an unprecedented period of time. If you were to look back over those years, what would be, you know, one or two or three or four or five, for that matter, key events that happened either prior to you becoming mayor or during your term as mayor that really set this momentum in motion, if that's proper English?
One key event was the financial crisis that the city found itself in after 9/11, 2001, which rendered the state in a position where it couldn't be more financially helpful to the city of Buffalo at that time to deal with the challenges that the city was experiencing financially. A state control board was implemented to assist in those financial concerns. I think the control board provided necessary assistance to the city at that time. Mm-hmm. When I came in, there were a lot of concerns that taxes were high, economic development programs and progress and was low, that there wasn't a lot of development, exciting development happening in the city. There was a sense of hopelessness. There was talk of regionalism and merging the city with the county. And we knew coming in that we really had to stabilize the city's finances, mm-hmm. that we had to focus on economic development, working with our business community, supporting our business community in creating jobs for the residents of our community. And we designed a plan to do that. In less than 2 years' time, we were able to stabilize the city's finances to the point where the control board lifted the wage freeze on municipal employees, which was very dispiriting to the men and women that worked in city government at that time, you know, to work and to work hard and to have your wages frozen is a very difficult thing. We were able to lift the wage freeze through our financial management, working mm-hmm. with the control board. And then subsequently, we were able to strengthen the city's finances to the point where the control board moved into the dormant state mm-hmm. that the state-enabling legislation allowed for. Our focus on economic development, acquiring shovel-ready land for development was pretty intense. We did something that was a little counterintuitive as we started out, and that was to begin to cut the tax rate. We knew that that would be a challenging thing, but we cut taxes both residentially and commercially because we wanted to capture the attention of people living in our city region and our state. We wanted to send a message that Buffalo was an affordable place to own a home, to own a business, to start a business, to invest in a business, and that was helpful in turning the image of our city around. So those were some of the key factors. One other thing that we did was working with the business community and the Buffalo Niagara Partnership, we streamlined the permit process in the city of Buffalo, going from one of the slowest places to get a permit in our region to arguably now the fastest place to get a permit in the region to do an addition to a home, do work to a home, or to build out a development project.
How important, has the kind of the, you mentioned one thing along the way there about the nature of our marketplace being affordable, relatively speaking. How important has that been in your mind to retaining what we've focused on here on the show a lot, retaining the young people here?
That's been critically important. We now have become one of the top cities in the nation for attracting millennials in the city of Buffalo. And one of the reasons for that is the great colleges and universities that attract young people to our community, but also the fact that we have an affordable community. Young people can afford to purchase a home. They can afford to get an apartment. They can afford to live here. It's a walkable city. It's a safe city. So those are some of the things that have made us an exciting and interesting destination for young people, particularly millennials.
You know, it's interesting. We have millennials in my family, and I ask them often, not perhaps directly, but I want to draw them out a little bit about what they like about the town. And they don't say it quite this way, but what they do say in their own way is that the we have big city features with small city feel. I was just in last two weekends in New York and Boston, and you know it's brutal getting around those cities. It really is, and yet if you look at young people that are in college today, you ask them what they want to do. There's a lot of attraction to go to school in the big cities, and then beyond that to go to work there because it's exciting where a lot of young people want to be, and we've seen that here, a reattraction of those people, if you want to call it that. But it's most interesting to me to hear them describe what they like about this city. How difficult has it been? I mean, because in spite of that, there's always this kind of looming threat that these great assets that we have will find greener pastures someplace else. How does that keep you awake at night at all? I mean, like for example, when the Bills went through their changes, and that happened a couple times really on your watch, and. What was the dialogue like to maintain assets like that in our town?
Well, we have great quality of life in this community, and fortunately we've had ownership of our sports teams that have seen that, that understand that. You know, clearly that was something that the first owner of the Bills, Ralph C. Wilson, understood, and that's something that Terry and Kim Pegula understand. They had a real respect for the quality of life in this community. That was part of their decision-making process to own the team. Yes, they had a love for the Buffalo Sabres and the Buffalo Bills, but they also knew that this was a good place to invest, that quality of life was good, that the work ethic in this community was strong, and that the support that we give to our sports teams, the support that we give to each other as a community, as the city of good neighbors, the region of good neighbors, is second to none.
I was in New York. I had a ticket for the game last weekend, and I had to give it up because my plane was leaving at a time when I had to be at the airport. And then, of course, because of the normal stuff that goes on in New York, my plane was delayed 3 hours, and I actually could have gone to the game. So that would have been a good experience to see the Bills kick a little butt like they did last weekend. But the fact of life is that it's, and you mentioned a couple things here, which I think are perhaps undersold by our community, although we talk about it to each other. It's hard to sell these things outside of our community because I'm not sure people buy it, that the walkable nature of our many neighborhoods, the livability, and you didn't reference this specifically, but the short commutes, the ease of traffic in our community, our highway system that's built for 2.4 million people, and there's roughly 1.1 or 1.2 that would use the entire highway system. As you talk to, I'm sure you're approached when a company is considering either expanding or coming into town. What are the key things that you sell?
Well, I certainly sell the affordability of our community. I sell the ease of commute of our community. The well-trained, highly motivated workforce that we have in Buffalo and Western New York. You know, growing up in New York City, I watched my parents leave Queens in the morning. They both worked in Manhattan, my mom at City College, my dad for a furrier. And each of them had about an hour and a half commute every day going to work and coming home from work.
That's brutal.
So that was at least 2 to 3 hours out of their day just getting to work every single day. People here, their longest commute is maybe 25 minutes, their longest commute. So that's something that I'm able to sell to businesses, and I'm able to sell it from firsthand experience. Yesterday I went to, not yesterday, but a couple of days ago, I was in Charlotte. I was a speaker at the National AARP conference, and just walking through that airport to get my bags took almost 20 minutes. Just walking through the airport. So we have a quality of life. We have an ease of commute. We have a livability in this community, in this city and region that we take for granted. We don't understand how difficult it is just commuting in other communities across this country. We don't have that. We are spoiled here in Buffalo and Western New York, but that's certainly a major, major selling point when I talk to businesses that come here that are looking to invest here. And certainly, I think one of the reasons why some of the great homegrown businesses that we have in this community, like Delaware North, like New Era, that's one of the reasons why they stay here, why they keep their corporate headquarters here, Rich Products, because they understand the uniqueness of Buffalo and Western New York.
I had John Dandy's on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we've got Jerry Jacobs coming up speaking to those two organizations. And it's very interesting to see how those companies have, for the most part, grown outside of our area but maintain their headquarters here. And I know that has a lot to do with the quality of life and their own emotional attachment to our community. But there's a price for that, and as we both know. And as I look out to the future of our community and how we maintain this momentum and the growth. And we're going to talk more about this after the break. But I would like your thoughts on the fundamental issue that we face here in Western New York, that we're part of upstate New York, which has an unfortunate kind of a negative connotation in the business community internationally and nationally. And so attracting somebody who's used to another set of circumstances to the regulatory and tax environment that we have in the state is no easy task. How do you deal with that when you're talking to anybody who's thinking about coming into this town?
That's a great point. That was why intentionally we focused on cutting taxes in the city of Buffalo, so we could send a message of being a lower taxed environment, of our focus on cutting taxes. That's why we work with the business community to change our regulatory environment in the city of Buffalo. While he doesn't get enough credit for it, the governor of the state of New York, Andrew Cuomo, who was just elected to a third four-year term, he has reduced a high tax and regulatory burden in New York State, probably to its lowest in about 50 years. Is there still work that needs to be done? But have there been major tax and regulatory changes that have been enacted by Governor Cuomo Absolutely. So we've had to work on this at the local level and send our own message at the local level. And fortunately, this is something that is also being worked on at the state level.
When we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you about the how you utilize your bully pulpit to, I guess, influence just what you were talking about, what happens at the state level, because there's no question we've got some inherent issues here that you and I both know we have to deal with. For example, the fact that we're among the poorest cities in the country. My own personal belief is that you lose one wealthy job creator, it takes a lot of people to replace them in terms of the net impact on the economy. So one of those people leaves and we become poorer, even though we may have a net influx of younger people. And we're going to talk more about this after the break, but it's something that disturbs me greatly, and I know it disturbs a lot of people in town because we, like you were saying, have a real belief in the inherent benefits that we have in this community, and it's unfortunate that sometimes the thing that hangs over us at the state level. But I want you to talk about what I know you have a good relationship with the governor and how that works to our favor. And we'll be back with more from our house to yours after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and soon to be Boston, Massachusetts. You'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our exclusive program that allows you to effectively roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage so that you can buy the before but live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. And also ask about our pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan as well, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And if you'd like to participate in today's show, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930. If you're local, 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance. *930 if you're mobile, and if you want to text us, you can text us at 30930 and engage in a conversation with the mayor of the city of Buffalo, my guest this morning, Byron Brown. Welcome back, Byron.
Thank you.
So we've got a couple people have texted us. I'm going to let you address that as you see fit. But before we get to that, I'd just like to like you to put into a little context what I was teasing you with before the break, which is our relationship with the state and the effect of some of the things that you had mentioned the governor's working to bring down. But the net effect still is that it does scare some people out of our state. And it's not necessarily our youngest and up-and-coming people. It's the people that have already made a huge contribution and actually done very well. So how do you deal with that, and how does that affect the way that you govern?
Critically important to continue to improve the regulatory environment so that we're more competitive, mm-hmm. both locally and at the state level. I'm focused on that as mayor. Mark Poloncarz is focused on that as county executive. Andrew Cuomo is focused on that as governor. We've worked very closely with the state. The state, under Governor Cuomo's leadership, has been more focused on the needs of Buffalo, Erie County, Western New York, upstate New York, probably more so than any time in the past 60, 70 years. Mm-hmm. So in modern times, there has been no governor that has been as focused on the needs and issues of this community as Governor Andrew Cuomo has been. He's pledged $1 billion to the city and the region, While it's called the Buffalo Billion, it's not just for Buffalo. It's moving throughout mm-hmm. the entire city and region, doing projects across our Western New York region. Then there was a commitment for a Buffalo Billion 2. And so all of those things are helping to build industry, support existing businesses, support cultural amenities in our community that will help with business retention, that will help with business attraction, and making Buffalo and Erie County and Western New York a more competitive place, particularly for those businesses that have been here for a long time and have really carried the weight, carried the load for this community for a long time. When you look at other communities like Cleveland and Pittsburgh, for example, communities that we are compared to a lot, Cleveland is more than 120,000 people larger than Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh is more than 50,000 people larger than
the city itself.
The city itself.
The metropolitan region would probably be
And the metropolitan region is substantially larger mm-hmm. than our metropolitan region mm-hmm. in Buffalo. So you're talking about regions that are significantly larger than ours, that have old corporations mm-hmm. more so than we have, that have foundations that contribute to the community mm-hmm. much more so than we do. Those things make a difference.
Sure
I mentioned some of those great companies like Rich Products and M&T Bank and the Pagulas and the Jacobs family in Delaware North. Now KeyBank is making major investments in this community. Those things make a major difference in terms of job creation, job retention, quality of life. And we are fortunate that we have great companies like that, some that are homegrown. New Era, I mentioned them before, mentioned them again. But Cleveland and Pittsburgh have so many more of those than we do, that makes a real difference. People talk about, well, why don't you attract more Fortune 100 companies to this community? Well, other communities that have them didn't attract them. They kind of grew up in those communities. So we have to invest in what we have. We have to support what we have. And those great legacy companies that we have in this community, they're homegrown. You know, Delaware North is homegrown. Mm-hmm. Rich Products is homegrown. New Era is homegrown. So the way to get those companies is to support what you have and grow them. Now,
just to that point, you know, the governor introduced the Startup New York program. And there's been several companies that have taken advantage of that here locally, to your point about home growing something. Because and then there's always 43 North, too, which we've interviewed people from both of those organizations on this show, just so our listeners can understand what is possible here. Have they been a major factor?
I think they have been an important factor in showing that the business ecosystem here is healthy, it's growing, that there is support at the state level, at the local level, for small business growth, for small business retention, small business attraction. Startup New York has been a great program to attract small business, to help businesses in this community grow. 43 North, one of the largest business plan, business idea competitions in the entire world, mm-hmm. and it's right here in Buffalo. It has attracted a number of great creative tech companies to come to this community because we have great people that have invested in this community, like the Pagulas. They're now partnering with Labatt's, and that
right.
new Labatt House is opening.
It's a cool thing.
It is a very cool thing. You know, we're going to be one of the few communities in the country that has that kind of amenity. Mm-hmm. That's going to be good for keeping young people here. It's going to be good for job creation and business attraction. So all of those things play a role. And so those programs of Governor Cuomo's in the state of New York, Startup New York, 43 North, recently Ignite Buffalo, you know, that brought technology companies and some of our largest technology companies in the country to this community to look at Buffalo. I would also say that we're fortunate. We have a very strong state legislative delegation on the assembly side, on the Senate side. And we have two members of our delegation now, Assemblywoman Crystal People-Stokes, who looks poised to go into a major leadership position, potentially to become the next majority leader of the state assembly. We certainly hope that that happens because that will bring more state resources to this community. State Senator Tim Kennedy looks to be poised to go into an important leadership position in this community. So all of those things will be helpful in the growth, the development, the strengthening of Buffalo, Erie County, and Western New York.
Our mission in this show, Mayor Brown, is to help our listeners protect and enhance their investment in real estate right here in Western New York. And this is something, obviously, that's near and dear to my heart, and I know to yours as well. A couple things from the commercial side are we've discussed with our developer friends and others on this show. One of them is the importance of tax credits. You are, I know, very vocal about this issue. And developers that have sat in that chair have said oftentimes that they simply couldn't do a project without these tax credits, mainly because we have it's kind of a glass ceiling on our commercial rents in this town. And, and because of that, it just doesn't warrant the investment without those tax credits. So how does that play into your forward-looking as well as looking back on the city of Buffalo?
Well, we have been very aggressive in supporting tax credit projects, various tax credits in the city. Many of the buildings that have been built, that have been rehabilitated, that have been resuscitated, vacant lots that now have buildings on them in the city of Buffalo, those things have been accomplished because developers have used tax credits very intelligently, and the city has supported these programs very effectively. Now, we have negotiated things in those deals to focus on the employment of city residents, of local residents, to make sure that minority and women-owned businesses are participating, to look at what the job creation numbers are on these projects. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are working in this community because of tax credits.
It's making it hard to get people to work because there's enough work, actually more work than there are, in some cases, contractors to actually do that work, which is an interesting issue for us to face. We've had a couple callers. There's a couple callers that are waiting. We've got a couple questions in by text. We'll take those after the break, and we'll be right back with more from our house to after yours, after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and Hunt Mortgage is the home of the low-rate and closing cost guarantee and the pre-purchase commitment. Call them today, 633-3700, to get involved in this very, very exciting active real estate market we have in our community. And here to discuss that and many other issues is the mayor of the city of Buffalo, Byron Brown. And Byron, I've got about 1,000 things on my notes here, but we're going to take a couple questions if that's okay. This is Janine from Buffalo. Janine, how can we help you?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for the mayor regarding he's constantly speaking of the community and the businesses and the expansion. And if I am a resident, which I am of the city, but and I live in a neighborhood such as University District or in and around streets like Bailey Avenue, Jefferson, Fillmore, South Park, any place like that, and I walk out my door and I walk my neighborhood, what kind of progress is there for me to see that my city is expanding and progressing? If I am a person in my 30s or 40s who's a homeowner who wants to stay here, or I'm a recent college graduate who's a minority, I've graduated, I've earned my degree, but I don't see any potential that's saying I want to stay in Buffalo.
It's an interesting question. Because, no question, in all cities, the development is never even.
Yeah, and I hear the frustration in Janine's voice. I'm sorry to hear that she feels that kind of frustration. So in some of the neighborhoods that she mentioned, so there's a Main Streets program in the University District that has focused on Bailey Avenue. That program is, again, a program with state dollars that has invested in some of the businesses on Bailey. In the Delavan-Grider area of the city of Buffalo, we have the more than $120 million Northland Corridor project. That's in the heart of the east side of Buffalo. $65 million of that $120 million is for a state workforce training center to prepare people for jobs in advanced manufacturing. There will be literally, because of retirements, thousands of job openings coming in this community. It's going to prepare people for jobs in the energy sector, literally thousands of jobs that will be open in that area, right in the east side of Buffalo. But more than that, the rest of the $120 million is going to go to streetscape and curbs and streets and trees and lighting and other investments to strengthen that community. Just recently on Broadway, a $50 million affordable housing project was announced. Over 200 units will have commercial space, retail space. One of the co-developers, one of the partners in that project, is a black female developer, Rhonda Ricks, on Jefferson Avenue. More than $50 million being invested through various private sector projects, as well as government projects. So yes, when development happens, sometimes it's uneven, but our focus and what is happening is we are now seeing that development taking place in every section of the city of Buffalo. And we can't be so overly reliant on what government can do. Yes, government has a role, but people have a role too. We need people to invest in their homes. We need people to join their block clubs and work together to improve their neighborhoods themselves. And the strongest neighborhoods in the city of Buffalo have that kind of citizen involvement and citizen engagement.
Let me jump in on that too, because from a real estate perspective, what you're saying is 1,000% accurate. The government can only do so much. They can pretty up a street, but the fact of life is there's got to be people living around their businesses that organically develop and interact, and so that you create a community. And what's happening with the reality of this to the last caller's question is that as things get better in the core, the place where everybody wants to invest, the Central Business District, the Elmwood Village, Hurdle Avenue, what happens is the development expands organically out from there. And what we're seeing for the first time, and you're seeing this more than I am even, we're seeing values rise in all the communities that our last caller was talking about. They're going up percentage-wise probably faster than the increase in value in other parts of our city.
That's correct. And, you know, when you mentioned tax breaks don't cost the taxpayer anything. So residents, businesses, small businesses, when you, for example, give a tax break to a business that builds a building on a piece of land that was vacant, the tax break is just on the value of what was built.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the land was producing before, it's still paying those taxes. And then over time, the tax break gets less and less until that property that got the tax break is now paying full taxes. So there is a benefit. There's an example that's been used, and I'm not going to necessarily mention the business right now, of a business that got a tax break to produce a job, producing business downtown, where that parcel of land had been state-owned before, was paying zero in taxes. Now it's paying over $280,000 in taxes every year, and that amount will continue to go up until that property is fully taxable and on the tax rolls. That's what the tax breaks have done. So dozens of people working, a vacant piece of land, now with a gleaming new building, and tax revenue coming into the community that didn't exist before.
Some people argue, and one of our texters has indicated this, that that's a preferential tax benefit, preferential treatment for certain developers, certain property owners. And I've wrestled with this dilemma, and I want to know how you wrestle with it too, Mayor Brown. The fact of life is, if you don't isolate a project and you don't do something to encourage a project to happen, it won't happen. I mean, that's just a fact. So you could take that benefit that you were going to give to that one parcel, and you could spread it over every citizen in the city of Buffalo, and it would be meaningless.
That is absolutely accurate. And folks that talk about how much they love other places, those other places around the country are doing the same thing.
Exactly right.
There are incentive programs. There are tax exemption programs. There is government assistance that is provided to attract business, to grow business in all 50 states of this nation. So what they say is happening here is happening in every other community across this nation. We need to understand that and realize that we have a good quality of life here. It's getting better, and we have to believe in ourselves. Sometimes we are our harshest critics in Buffalo and Erie County and Western New York. We have to believe in ourselves, and each of us, each individual, has a responsibility and an ability to contribute to making our community better.
Underlying our first questioner's comments, and we're seeing some more of this by text, are the issues of security and crime rates in our city. This is always an issue, and a city's a city, so there are going to be security and crime issues no matter what you do about it. What are you doing in the Mayor Brown administration along those lines?
So there are a number of things that we are doing. Number one, we're working to bring more jobs into every area of the community. And we're trying to train people to go into jobs that are opening up in the community. So people know that there is hope for them to get work. There is opportunity for them to earn a good living if they do the right thing, if they stay away from crime, if they stay away from drugs, if they stay away from illegal guns. There are incredible opportunities that are coming online in this community. We also have created a training program where every police officer in the city is trained to be a community police officer. We've created a permanent unit in our police department, the Neighborhood Engagement Team, where about 80% of these officers' time is spent building the relationship between community and police. And so they operate as counselor, coach, advisor, social worker, trying to improve conditions at the community level. When they run into people in our neighborhoods, in the community, that have problems, that have issues, they then refer them to other places in the community where they can get assistance. We think that that helps to produce a safer community, because now through those relationships that our officers are building, we get more information back that helps us to solve crime in the city of Buffalo.
A couple things that we've spent some time on in the show, which I think are implied in what you're saying. Number one, the community schools that have been created under Dr. Cash's administration at the city school system, and also the Say Yes Buffalo program. I know you're deeply involved in both.
Very deeply involved. We partner with the Strong Community Schools program. We partner with Say Yes. The city has contributed several million dollars to Say Yes. Say Yes is a game changer. It lets every family know, no matter what their income level, that their children can go to college, can get a good education, can break out of a cycle of poverty or low income. We have more children graduating from high school in the city of Buffalo than we have had in decades. We have more children going on to college in the city of Buffalo. So the process of change is not an instant one. So we understand concerns of crime, concerns of poverty, concerns of unemployment, but actions have to be taken to address those situations. And once those actions are taken, they aren't going to magically or instantly make those conditions go away. So you have to start to finish. You have to start doing something positive to get a positive result. If you don't get started and if you don't work on it, you will never be able to turn circumstances that are unpleasant and are challenging around. What we're doing is turning circumstances around, turning challenges around, and creating opportunities for people in the community. Our focus, my focus, has been to build a city of opportunity for all people, where no one is left out, where no one is left behind, and that includes all of our neighborhoods.
And that certainly is an ambitious goal, and I certainly wish the best in that. We've got about 45 seconds left. Top three priorities for the balance of this term.
Top three priorities are to make our city even safer, to continue to focus on economic development, job creation, supporting our business community, creating jobs, and to continue train people for employment opportunities of the future in this community. So there's fuller employment in the city of Buffalo, so neighborhood conditions are stronger. That's my goal for the future.
Mayor Brown, thank you very much for being with us this morning. I'd like to thank all our listeners for being with us, too. We're got running out of time here, but I want to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving, as our mayor did earlier. We'll be back next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, Western New York and all upstate is hunt country.